Hello, everyone. Tom Kindred here, host of Small Biz Florida, the podcast and broadcast that is all things business in the state of Florida. Thanks for listening and subscribing to our new podcast. I wanted our listeners to know that this segment was taped and produced at the recent Florida Chamber Legislative Fly-In held on January 14th and 15th in Tallahassee, Florida. I want to thank the Florida Chamber for all the organization does to support and foster small business in our state. And I want to thank them for a front row seat at this year's Legislative Fly-In, an important and informative gathering of Florida's business leaders. Now enjoy this segment.
This is Small Biz Florida, the podcast designed and produced specifically for Florida small business owners and entrepreneurs. Small Biz Florida, talk that works for Florida. This podcast is supported by the Florida SBDC Network, providing the tools, strategies, and expertise to help Florida's business community thrive. Visit the Florida SBDC online at www.floridasbdc.org. Or contact your local office and get started on your path to success today.
And this is Small Biz Florida, the broadcast and podcast to discuss and talk about all things business across the state of Florida. And when you talk business in the state of Florida, you can't not talk about infrastructure. And if you're going to talk about infrastructure, you got to talk about our ports in the state of Florida. And I am pleased to have with us today Mr. Paul Anderson, who is the CEO of Port Tampa Bay. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tom. Anderson. It's a real pleasure to be on the show.
And we've also got with us Clay Hollis, who also serves as chief of staff for the Port of Tampa Bay. Welcome to the show, Clay.
Thanks, Tom.
So, again, impressive to have you guys on the show to talk about what's happening over in Tampa Bay, specifically what's going on in port operations. So, Paul, why don't you start us with just a little bit of background on you and kind of your pathway to the port at Tampa Bay.
Sure, Tom. First, let me just say it's great to be on the show and really address a shout-out to you all for what you're doing for small business in Florida. It's extremely critical to the continued growth of Florida employment. And my pathway to serving this job, a little unusual, but early in my career, I served as a staffer on Capitol Hill. From that, I met a gentleman who owned a international shipping company. I went to work for the owner and chairman of that company out of South Florida, spent over a decade. Was recruited from there to work for one of Florida's largest companies, JM Family Enterprises, Southeast Toyota Distributors.
Wow.
Again, where I worked for Mr. Jim Moran, the founder and chairman of that company. Spent over a decade. And then took, famous saying, come to a fork in the road and you took it. And I did. I was asked to serve in the President George W. Bush administration by the president. I was nominated and confirmed by the Senate to be a federal maritime commissioner, which regulates our maritime industry. So I sort of left the industry, came back into the industry after being in the automobile sector, and then that sort of segued into, after I did 5 years in the administration, I ran a shipping company. And then I was recruited to be the CEO of the Jacksonville Port Authority. Spent a couple years in Jacksonville, and then have found my way to this great port and community and region of the bookend on the western side of the I-4 corridor for Port Tampa Bay. Been there 7 years.
Wow. I mean, that's great experience. What a pathway, perfect pathway, really, into the port business. And I like your connection to JMI for two reasons. Of course, JMI is very involved in the entrepreneurship program at FSU.
At FSU, yes.
Yeah, incredible a supporter of entrepreneurship in the state of Florida. And then I guess, so you've been able to really see the port business from both sides. You've seen it from the port operations, and you've seen it from shipping and receiving operations.
Absolutely, being a customer of a port, running a global business. And, you know, it's really fascinating to see how the ports, our network of ports in the state, grow up with the state. You know, I attended University of Florida, graduated in the early 80s, population of Florida was about 9 million people. Today, it's 21.5 million and growing about 900 today, according to Dr. Jerry Parrish, who's speaking right now here at the Florida Chamber. And as that growth continues, we as a state, our job creators, the ports are job creators for our state. And creating infrastructure to support the continued growth of Florida is absolutely critical to the long-term health of our state's economy. And it's really done that. And at Port Tampa Bay, we are the state's largest port by both its physical geography, about 5,000 acres. And it's a huge port complex. We're also the most diverse port when it comes to the terms of cargo that we have. We're the in a state that has four of the largest cruise ports in the world, we're number four. But you have Miami, Port Everglades, Port Canaveral, and our state does 17.5 million cruises a year, cruise passengers. So it's
a
huge impact.
Go back and say that again.
So
in terms of passengers.
Passengers, last year, I believe the number is 17, a little over 17 million cruise passengers sailed from a Florida port. And we are the fourth, number four in that. We did about 1.1 million cruise passengers. But it's a really important part of our economy. It fits into the leg and the stool, the three-legged stool we always talk about in Florida, tourism, agriculture, and real estate and development. And, you know, the new one now, in my think, is the emerging economy of Florida as it changes with the growth is, number one, we have to have good infrastructure to support what we know is going to be the fastest growing state in the nation. We surpassed New York. So cruise is really important to that. In our case, we also are the largest in tonnage. We handle over 35 million tons of cargo on an annual basis through Port Tampa Bay. That includes about 45% of all of the fuel that comes into the state of Florida. And that's coming from Texas and Louisiana by ship. You look at cement, building materials, steel, aggregate, coal, salt, frozen and fresh produce, Asian cargo, furniture, retail, consumer goods, and it's really in automobiles. You know, when you think about 21.5 million people, 120 million plus visitors to the state, all of those consumer goods, fuel, road building materials, you drive in downtown Tampa, there's 15 or 20 cranes up. Every city in the state is that way. That material's all got to come from somewhere, and it's coming through our state's ports.
Wow. You know, one doesn't really think of, you drive by and you think, yeah, there's a lot of stuff coming in there, but you don't really break it down like you just did. So there, obviously, your port has a commercial and a tourism and a commercial element to it. The cruise ships are going out of your port. Also, cargo is coming and going out of your port. You know, when you describe the port like you've done, I mean, it sounds like to me there's just infinite possibilities for small business engagement in a port operation. I mean, supplying, supporting, utilizing, you know, talk about that engagement with the small business community.
Yeah, number one, ports in general are economic generators. We are job creators. We work hand in hand with our local EDCs. We work with Enterprise Florida. We go on trade missions, and we are an important partner when the state, the governor, or delegations go to Brazil, Germany, recently Israel. We have businesses from Israel doing work. And it's really important when you tie in some of the support services that small businesses provide. In our case, we're the only port in the state that also has ship repair and ship building facilities. We have four shipyards. And in that case, you're seeing a lot of, where our state Colleges come in, our Votech support. Right. Welding is a huge need in our port. Fabricating, painting. And so those are, and then all the services that go around with that. Right. Ship supply, and I could go on. Ship agents, right. Tugboat operators, even though they're not necessarily small, but some are.
Right.
And then the list goes on. So right. It's important to what we do. We are very focused on trying to help build new jobs that fit into the small business categories as well.
Sounds like it. Talk about the change in ports over the last, couple of decades in Florida. Innovations are happening in ports just like innovations in all industries. Yeah. New technologies, safer. Speak to the innovations and the changes.
Yeah, happy to. And again, I mentioned I was a Federal Maritime Commissioner. I had regulatory responsibility over our nation's ports. Getting to see ports over the last 20, 30 years, technology has been critical, like it is in every industry, to finding ways to do things more efficiently, faster, and cost less money. In our case, in ports, particularly important for Florida, you had the expansion of the Panama Canal, which meant now bigger ships could come through. And Florida has been a beneficiary of that. So part of the technologies have been bigger ships. They've been more efficient use of, in fact, we're the fuel that is required to burn. There's an International Maritime Organization. Effective January 1st, ships now can no longer have to convert to a mid-tier grade fuel that's a lot cleaner, lower sulfur fuel, which will have an impact on our economy, global warming. We also have seen technologies in logistics and supply chain. So some of our biggest customers are our big furniture companies, the big box stores, and the retailers. And in the central state, central Florida, I-4 corridor, I-75, you have over 300 distribution centers. That's a who's who of all every major company, from Walmart to Walgreens to Publix to Rooms to Go to Haverty's to Nike, and the list keeps going. That's how we distribute to these stores. So it's coming in via ship, rail, or truck, and then it's going to these distribution centers, and it's getting then sent to the stores.
You talked about partnerships with Enterprise Florida and the trade missions. I mean, the ports are obviously a major key component in Florida's strategic growth plan and the blueprint. Kind of talk about how you guys fit into that blueprint for the future.
Well, first, something that was done very important when Governor Rick Scott was elected governor, he became very focused on ports in the infrastructure that we needed to meet the demands of Florida's growth. He recognized that. And Florida, with his leadership in the legislature, invested over the last 9 years now, about $1.5 billion, which allowed Florida's ports to catch up with some of the other ports for desperately needed infrastructure, terminals, cranes, deeper draft channels. And it is very important to the future of Florida that we be able to serve our own population and our visitors and our growth because of the job creation. It goes right back to economic impact. We are for example, Port Tampa Bay is the largest single economic driver in West Central Florida. And it's an $18.5 billion enterprise. We impact over 85,000 jobs. Direct, indirect, and related to the port's activities, and virtually every port in the state has similar numbers. And so we have to be part of a state network. Department of Florida DOT has now port specific employees that help us align our strategic plans. Very important, we have strategic plans for the strategic growth of Florida.
What about workers? You talk about the jobs that are available and being made available. Are you able to find the labor needed to man the ports?
Yeah. Keep in mind that we, as an employer, as a port, are relatively small. We third party out a lot of the terminal operations. We have a partner, as do most of the ports. It's Ports America. They do the hiring, but we have companies that are tenants of the port, large oil companies, the cruise lines, right. Steel manufacturing is one. I'll use as a specific example. They are literally fabricating the large bridges for the state's highway growth, for other states' above ground storage tanks. They literally wait. This is Tampa Tank and Structural Steel at the graduation ceremony of the VOTEC for the welding program at Hillsborough Community College and hiring people right after the graduation. Mm. So those jobs are really important, and we feel that we are a partner in aligning our tenants, our customers, with future jobs.
Yeah, and you had talked a little bit before we went on air that you had also worked with some state colleges and can appreciate that system and what it means to Florida's economy.
Absolutely. Our system of 28 colleges first is the best in the nation. We not only are now aligning a 2+2 with our university system, but they're important for those that don't necessarily need a 4-year degree. They want to get a certification in a VOTEC kind of a job. We see that very importantly. I personally formerly served as chairman of the Board of Trustees at Broward College. And there was a marine program, aviation, nurses, very important to the jobs that the local economy needs, and that's the role that the colleges should play.
Right. Yeah, excellent point. Well, Paul, so interesting to talk to someone in this whole port space. Again, we as Floridians, I have done it myself. I've been to the Port of Miami a number of times to get on my cruise ship. I've been to Port Canaveral a number of times to get on a cruise ship, and you kind of take for granted all that's going on in that port. You just kind of get on the cruise, and it's time for vacation. But it's interesting to meet the folks behind all of those moving parts in a port.
Yeah, we also have a very collaborative work with our other ports. Miami, my colleague there, Port Everglades, Canaveral, Jacksonville, we have an association. And while there is, in some ways, competition, we like to call it co-opetition. We try not to, poach each other.
Right.
We're working to support the growth of the state, the existing citizens that live here.
Right.
The growth that we know that's going to take place, but we are also competing to get cargo that's currently going into other states and then using trucks to be trucked on our highways that every person pays taxes for and get them closer to the consumer.
Right. I was in private enterprise for about 25 years, and we did receive a lot of our goods. Some of our goods were made in Italy and elsewhere, and a lot of our stuff came into the Baltimore, and a number of our products came into Savannah. So yes, it would have been much easier for us had it been coming into Tampa or Miami. We could have probably gone and gotten it ourselves.
And I'm going to guess that literally a decade ago, a service much like airline services, an ocean service did not exist that would have either made it more efficient or save you money in that logistics supply chain for your product.
Right.
Tom, another area I just would be remiss if I didn't mention, because it is a big issue in this year's legislature, it's an issue with all Floridians, and that's port resiliency to weather events, hurricanes, number one.
Yeah.
We've been through first Irma and Michael, and while portions of our state were severely impacted by those storms, we've also had some near misses. It will continue to be something that if you live in Florida, you're going to have to deal with at some point.
Right.
And ports, particularly in our case, we are a fuel supply port. I mentioned almost 45%.
Right.
It's really important that we prepare for the eventuality that we may have to recover from a hurricane to get fuel moving At any given time, we might only have 5 days. So that's something we focus on. Resiliency is important to our entire state, being on a peninsula in the ocean. So just to your listeners, it's something that we pay a lot of attention to and prepare for.
Paul, listen, really appreciate the insight into the Port of Tampa Bay. How does someone get more information about the port, maybe find out about opportunities to become a vendor, supplier, kind of just delve into what's going on at the Port of Tampa Bay and maybe take advantage of some of that activity?
Well, certainly we have a website available out there with a lot of in-depth information that you can get. Because we do see a lot of potential customers that are in around the world looking for real estate, for new terminal operations, whatever, porttampa.com. We also have a team that can provide any amount of information regarding our capabilities. And we're constantly on the move around the world. We have a business development team that literally will be in 20 countries this year.
Wow. Unbelievable. Paul, thank you so much for taking time out to participate with us here and kind of tell us what's going on in the port arena in the state of Florida, because it's obviously meaningful to small business operations.
Tom, it's been great to enjoy you. Yes, thank sir. You for allowing me
thank
to
you.
Share.
Yes, sir. And with that, we will be right back with more Small Biz Florida. That will bring to close this segment of Small Biz Florida, all things business in the state of Florida.
This has been Small Biz Florida, created and produced by the Florida Small Business Development Center at Indian River State College. Your host for Small Biz Florida is Tom Kindred. Partners for Small Biz Florida include WPSL and WSTU and Indian River State College, named the 2019 winner of the Aspen Prize for Community College Excellence.